Blog Talk Radio.
Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth ward. Fourth ward. Come on. Sing it.
Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge production, the Messenger Edition. I am Nurse Carmen. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And next we'll have a message with the messenger, a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you all once again for tuning in. I hope everyone had a fantastic week, weekend. If you kept your mind on God and just how great He is, you had no choice but to have a fantastic weekend. I'm going to start with a question that was asked to me, and it was, what avenues can be used right here, right now, to get back to wisdom, to get back to clarity, to get back to God? Do we need to return to religion? Is that the missing link? And I say, return to spirituality. Forget about religion. Now, I know that statement is going to anger a lot of people, but the reason I'm saying this is I know it's going to anger people, but you say, well, why do I say it? Forget religion. Because it is not good for you. Understand that in order for organized religion to succeed, it has to make people believe they need it. In order for people to put faith in something else, they must first lose faith in themselves. So the first task of organized religion is to make you lose faith in yourself. The second task is to make you see that it has the answers you do not. And the third and most important task is to make you accept its answers without question. If you question, you start to think. If you think, you start to go back to that source within. Religion can't have you do that because you're liable to come up with an answer different from what it has contrived. So religion must make you doubt yourself, must make you doubt your own ability to think straight. The problem for religion is that very often this backfires. For if you cannot accept without doubt your own thoughts, how can you now doubt the new idea about God which religion has given you? Pretty soon, you will even doubt God's existence, which ironically, you never doubted before. When you were living by your intuitive knowing, you may not have God all figured out, but you definitely knew that God was there. It is religion which has created agnostics. Any clear thinker who looks at what religion has done must assume religion has no God, for it is religion which has filled the hearts of men with fear of God, where once man loved that which is in all its splendor. It is religion which has ordered men to bow down before God, where once men rose up in joyful outreach. It is religion which has burdened men with worries about God's wrath, where once man sought God to lighten his burdens. It is religion which told man to be ashamed of his body and its most natural functions, where once man celebrated these functions as the greatest gift of life. It is religion which taught you that you must have an intermediary in order to reach God, where once you thought yourself to be reaching God by the simple living of your life in goodness and in truth. And it is religion which commands humans to adore God, where once humans adored God because it was impossible not to. Everywhere religion has gone, it has created disunity, which is the opposite of God. Religion has separated man from God, man from man from woman. Some religions actually telling man that he is above woman, even as it claims God is above man, thus setting the stage for the greatest travesty ever fostered upon half the human race. I tell you this, God is not above man, and man is not above woman. That is not the natural order of things, but it is the way everyone who has power, namely men, wished it was when they formed their male worship religions, systematically editing out half the material from their final versions of the Holy Scripture and twisting the rest to fit the mold of their male model of the world. It is religion which insists to this very day that women are somehow less, somehow second-class spiritual citizens, somehow not suited to teach the word of God, preach the word of God, or minister to the people. Like children, you are still arguing over which gender is ordained by God to be God's priest. But I'll tell you this, you are all priests, every single one of you. There is no one person or class of people more suited to do God's work than any other. But so many of men are just like our nations, power hungry. They do not like to share power, merely exercise it. And they have constructed the same kind of God, a power hungry God, a God who does not like to share power, but merely exercise it. Yet I tell you this, God's greatest gift is the sharing of God's power. God would have you be like God. But then you said, but you cannot be like God. That would be blasphemy. The blasphemy is that you have been taught such things. I tell you this, you have been made in the image and likeness of God. It is that destiny you came to fulfill. You did not come here to strive and to struggle and to never get there, nor did God send you on a mission impossible to complete. Believe in the goodness of God and believe in the goodness of God's creation, namely your holy selves. I have said God is everything and God becomes everything. There is nothing which God is not, and all that God is experiences of itself, God is experiencing in, as, and through you. In God's purest form, God is the absolute, absolutely everything, and therefore God needs, wants, and demands absolutely nothing. From this absolute pure form, God as you make God is as you make God. It is as if you were finally to see God and say, well, what do you make of that? Yet, no matter what you make of God, God cannot forget and will always return to God's purest form. All the rest is a fiction. It is something you are making up. There are those who would make God a jealous God. But who would be jealous when one has and is everything? There are those who would make God a wrathful God. God to be angry when God cannot be hurt or damaged in any way. There are those who would make God a vengeful God. But on whom would God take vengeance, since all that exists is God? And why would God punish God's self for simply creating? Or if you must think of us as separate, why would God create you, give you the power to create, give you the freedom of choice to create what you wish to experience, then punish you forever for making the wrong choice? I tell you this, God would not do such a thing. And in that truth lies your freedom from the trinity of God. In truth, there is no trinity except in your imagination. You may come home whenever you wish. We can be together again whenever you want. The ecstasy of your reunion with God is yours to know again, at the drop of a hat, at the feel of the wind on your face, at the sound of a cricket under diamond skies on a summer night, first sight of a rainbow, at the first cry of a newborn babe, at the last ray of a spectacular sunset, and the last breath in a spectacular life. God is with you always, even until the end of time. Your union with God is complete. It always was, always is, it always will be. You and God are one, both now and even forevermore. So go now and make your life a statement of this truth. Cause your days and night to be reflections of the highest idea within you. Allow your moment of now to be fulfilled with the spectacular ecstasy of God made manifest through you. Do it through the expression of your love, eternal and unconditional. For all those whose lives you touch, be a light unto the darkness and curse it not. Be a bringer of the light. You are that. So be it. Now, tonight, I just want to let you know that it's a short mini conversation that we had. I just wanted to lay this on you to give you something to think about. I know it's Sunday and everybody's trying to get back into church and all of this and that, but I want you to hear what was just said. Play it over again. Hear what it's saying, because it's so important that we understand this. We have been under this illusion that God is vengeful, that God is petty. And we've got to stop thinking of God in that way. And until we stop thinking of God in that way, we can't start thinking of ourselves in the way in which we should. That we are part of the body of God. The things in which we do as we create ourselves anew is just an experience for God, not an aggravation, not something that is making him mad and going to cast you into a fire of hell. That is not God. That is what we've been told. But this is why I say you have to go within. Because if you don't go within, you will go without. I thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. And I pray that something was said. It was a short one tonight, but I just wanted that to come across so that we can start to think a little bit more about the God within us and the God in which we are a part of. I love you all. Take care. Have a blessed evening and a fantastic week. And I pray and hope that you will find your way back Thursday at 9 o'clock so that we can once again talk about who and whose we are. I love you all. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.